Yes, we can't be distracted. Amen. We got a great goal, don't we? Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, in heaven. Us and Him together forever. That's a great goal. Hallelujah. Amen. So wonderful to see everybody here. May the Lord bless you for coming to the house of God. And it's great to see Brother Horace and Sister Betty and Becky and them and Amanda Becker here, as well as Tammy's sister and her husband and Jessica. And just appreciate everybody. May the Lord bless you. Good to see Donna here in service as well, and Robert and Maggie and everybody else. Good to see Titus and my mom and everybody. God bless you. I want to read from Acts chapter 3, if you'd like to read there with me, Acts chapter 3. Amen. Amen. Let's raise our hands and thank the Lord for that. Lord, I appreciate your great blessings upon us, how that you have helped us, Lord. God, I thank you, dear Savior, for your goodness upon us. I appreciate your mercies. Oh, God, I do thank you. Acts chapter 3 and verse 11, after that the lame man was healed, the Bible says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them and to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And I want to stop there, but that's not all the message. I want to preach on the blessing of repentance. The blessing of repentance. Repentance opens the door to God's blessings. Christ came into this world to offer salvation to all people. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he came first to God's chosen people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, and knocked on their heart's door and wanted them to open to him. My, what blessings there were in Jesus Christ. All of God's blessings, every one of them, are contained in who Jesus is. It's not just a formula of do this and you get this. If you open your heart through repentance to allow Jesus to come in, you have all the blessings of God right there in your heart. Can I tell you right now, the leaders of Israel tried to completely shut the door to God's blessings. They took nails and nailed the door shut, they thought. They nailed Jesus to the cross in an effort to shut the door. They put him in a tomb and sealed the tomb, and placed soldiers at the tomb to guard it, to make sure that the door stayed shut. Can I tell you, God bursted out that tomb, rolled away the stone, and Jesus came out alive. Yes, he has wounds in his hands and feet, but there are no nails. They could not shut the door and keep it shut. Jesus came out of the tomb, and even right here through this message that Peter was preaching, was knocking on their door again. Open the door and receive. Open the door and have repentance. Open the door and believe upon Jesus Christ. He was still demanding entrance into their lives. Now let me tell you, if you reject Jesus Christ in any form or fashion and turn to sin, amen, you will face the judgment of God. Can I tell you, there are many people who slammed the door in the face of God in so many words because they will not turn from their sins and serve the living God. Peter preached repentance to these people. He spoke to them about their guilt. He said in verse 14 that they denied Jesus. Amen. And then they replaced Jesus with a murderer. And then they killed the Prince of Life. I want to preach to you and tell you that many today still deny Jesus. They turn away from Jesus. They are not outspoken for Jesus. They will not take up for Jesus. And then they replace Jesus with not only a murderer, but with a job, with money, with drugs, with alcohol, with pleasures, with all kinds of entertainment. They replace Jesus with all kinds of busyness, and they put those things above and beyond Christ. And then the Bible says they killed the Prince of Life. Now, I want to point this out, that most all of these people that Peter was preaching to did not literally take the hammer and nails and beat the nails into Jesus's hands and feet. Yet because of their attitude, they were guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, amen, that Peter lifted up Jesus Christ by the titles of who he was. Amen. He exalted his greatness. What did he call him? He called him twice God's Son. You crucified God's Son. You rejected God's Son. Amen. He called him the Holy One, the Just One, the Prince of Life, the Christ, Jesus Christ. And he called him Lord. And I tell you, when you sin, or if I sin, we are not sinning and just breaking mama's rules or daddy's rules. We're not even breaking the government's rules. We're breaking God's rules. When God lays down laws and we break them, that is called sin. And God is so high and holy and lofty and great and powerful, amen, that that crime is punishable by death and in eternity in hell. That's how great he is. And I tell you, Christ was so wonderful and their sins so deplorable that displayed their guilt in a mighty way. But Peter kind of let up on them just a little bit and said, I wot that through ignorance you did this. Yeah, unless it gets too heavy, I want to make it plain. I understand you all did not completely comprehend everything that you was doing. But look at what sin is done through ignorance. Amen. Can I tell you, that's why we want you to read your Bibles. That's why we want you to come to church. That's why we want you to teach your children at home through devotions. Amen. The reason is because by ignorance, many people sin. Amen. And we need to get God's perspective on things by reading his word, by hearing it preached and taught. Let me tell you something. Nothing will ever take the place of going to church and hearing God's word preached and taught. And the church said, amen. I'm telling you, nothing will take that place. You say, well, I'll know instinctively. No, you will not. Amen. There is a lot of things people do through ignorance. And you know what? God in the Old Testament had a great mercy on people that were ignorant. Amen. But when sin came to their knowledge, they had a choice of what they needed to do. They needed to have an understanding, amen, of what they was going to do with their guilt. Would they repent and turn from it, or would they accept it? Friend, When an ignorant person finds out that they have sinned and they will not turn from that sin but accept that sin, they are more responsible for that iniquity and they are very, very guilty. Amen. Peter preached repentance. He gave the case for their guilt and then showed them the expected result. Amen. The reason that he showed them their guilt was because they needed to turn from their sin. They needed to turn from their guilt. Listen, man is guilty. Man is a sinner by nature and he's a sinner by choice. Everybody here has chose at one time, amen, to sin. And that makes us extremely guilty. We are guilty and people have that hurt feeling, that guilt feeling in their spirit. And so what do? Sometimes they busy themselves making money or working or something along that line. Sometimes they busy themselves with entertainment and music and fill their heads with stuff all the time. Or sometimes they turn to drugs, and it may not just be, say, illegal drugs. It can be painkillers that's trying to kill a pain here and not in your back. Guilt, 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 guilt has a reason. Now, I realize there's false guilt the devil tries to put on people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real guilt about sin. There's a reason for it. Just like there's a reason for pain in your body. You say, boy, I wish I had a body without pain. Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, I thank God for pain. What if you could accidentally lay your hand on a hot stove and just leave it there until it was completely and totally burned up and you never could use it again? Aren't you glad for the pain that you touch that? Woo! I got to repent of touching that. Doesn't take you long to repent if you got some feeling, does it? That's what guilt's supposed to do. I feel guilty, Brother Lloyd. Well, pull back from that. Stop doing it. Turn to God. Amen. Jesus, amen, died on the cross. And Peter said, you are guilty. Don't you understand? You're guilty. You need to get away from that guilt. You got to repent of that. Amen. And so that's the function of guilt. However, sometimes God gets through, even though man tries to fill his mind with stuff to where he can't think about God and his repentance, his need of repentance. But God does it in a way to try to produce repentance. People should turn from that guilt that hurts and turn to God that'll heal. That's what they need to do. Now, let me just tell you, I realize there's not a lot of preachers preaching repentance anymore. I've even read and heard some people that almost feel like the message of repentance is a salvation by works. That's not the truth. God gives us the ability to repent, and so it's a gift from God, first of all, but secondly, it's a part of faith. It's a part of believing God's message. I have to believe what God said about sin and turn from sin to the living God. That's the way it is. Amen. Repentance is a part of belief. Amen. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The Apostle Peter and the rest of the apostles preached repentance. I'll tell you, it's an apostate church that don't preach repentance anymore. Amen. Let me just speak to you plainly about what repentance is. Amen. Sam Jones went to a camp meeting with an older preacher. And I don't know what the preacher was preaching, but Sam Jones, when I read about it, it sounded like that the preacher was trying to, I don't know, he messed it up some way. It wasn't real clear. The older preacher got to fidgeting, got real nervous. Amen. Finally stood up and just interrupted the camp meeting. He said, hey, just wait a second. He called the brother's name. He said, why don't you just tell him this is what repentance is? He said, I'm heading this direction. I'm going towards hell. I love sin. I love what the devil has planned for me. I go with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I'm going to hell. And I don't like the things of God. I've got my back on the things of God. But when I repent, I turn around. I'm not heading that direction anymore. I don't love sin anymore. I love holiness. I love righteousness. I love God. I'm going to heaven. I trust in Jesus. That's what repentance is, he said. He said, won't you just tell them that way? So I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Amen. Repentance is when you turn your back on sin. Amen. It's when you turn your back on the devil and the world and the flesh. Amen. It's when you turn your face towards God. Amen. I'm not saying that you don't necessarily sometimes slip up and feel a temptation and a drawback, but I'm telling you, you've got your back towards that old way of life. You've got your face towards God. Hallelujah. You're not facing sin anymore and paying attention to sin anymore. You're facing God and his truth and his holiness and his righteousness. That's what it's all about. The Greek word means a change of mind or purpose. Amen. It's a rest of your life change. So, what produces repentance? Amen. What brings about repentance? First of all, a knowledge of God's truth should bring repentance. Now, I'm not going to tell you it does. It should. Every bit of truth you know about God, his law, about Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, it should bring repentance. Should. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 21 through 24, Jesus speaks to a few cities that he had worked wonders in and preached in. And you know what? They were going to be judged very severely because they had a great knowledge. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, that was a Gentile pagan area that the Jewish people had great contempt for. If those works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And I tell you, if this church was in some pagan areas of the world and they had seen the lives changed and felt the power of God in the services that we've had, there'd be some pagans that would have repented and believed. But here we are, we're in Miller County, and people have seen it all their life. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a whole lot worse for people that know. It really is. It really is. Listen, friend, if you're here today and you go to church regular and you're still lost, I'm not telling you not to keep on coming to church, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. You need to repent as quick as you can, because it's going to be so much worse. It's going to be so much worse on you than any ignorant person in this whole world. You know why? Because every healing that you've ever known about and every message you've ever heard and every move of the Spirit you've ever witnessed will testify against you one day. There are people that repent on simple little messages. Simple, tiny little messages. They repent and believe. I've went into little primitive places where they had grass huts and mud floors, and told a Sunday school lesson of something that my wife would teach among the little baby children. And people get saved. But I'll tell you what, I've preached and witnessed people preach at camp meetings, masterpieces of preaching, and folks resisted and turned away. Let me tell you something. Amen. We are gospel hardened, I fear, in many people's lives. Oh, great Lord, help us. We got to realize we're going to give account one day of every service. We're going to give account one day of every message, of every Sunday school lesson. We're going to give account one day. And if the mighty works and the teachings that were done at Fairland Holiness Church were done in some portions of our country, yeah, even if it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know what effect it would have had on Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to ask you, what effect is this church and this message and the miracles and the healings and the moves of the Holy Ghost having on your heart? Amen. Amen. Sorrow can lead to repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10, it says, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you were sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." You know, there was a time that Paul had to rebuke this church for allowing sin in it. And it made him very sad. If you read this letter, he was a little afraid that they was going to get sad and bitter at him because he had made them sorry. And some did, really. They didn't like his rebuke. They got a little bitter at him. But the majority repented. And he said, "Listen to me." He said, "I'm glad you had a godly sorrow." Now, sorrow is not repentance. It's not. It leads to repentance. Sorrow can be the beginning of repentance. But it doesn't mean that you've repented just because you cried. You can be embarrassed. You mean everybody knows? You mean everybody knows that this is who I am? You mean I got caught? You mean my wife found out? My husband found out? My mom found out? You can be embarrassed. You can be sorry of the consequences of sin. You can be sorry that you got put in jail or in prison or something, or even something else, fired at your job. You can be sorrowful at the consequences of sin. I'll tell you, until that you sorrow to the point that you turn away from it, that sorrow has just made you sad, and that's all. It didn't change you. It didn't change you. Amen. Oh, God, help us here today. I felt this so on my heart, so desperate, I had to preach it. No matter what today, I had to preach it. There's people here today that really need to turn around. Oh, God. Because if you don't, there's a judgment that awaits, my friends. Amen. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, amen, this question was asked by the Apostle Paul: "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, our God is such a good God. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He doesn't just water the gardens of the church people. He'll water blasphemers' gardens. He really does. He's a good God. He doesn't just bring church people through car wrecks. He brings sinners through car wrecks. He preserves their lives in a miraculous way. There's no way they should have lived. He's a good God. He doesn't just provide for church people. He provides for backsliders. He gives them all kinds of things. He sometimes, even because the church prays, he'll even heal a backslider's body. He will definitely do it. And I'm preaching to you, our God is a very good God. He is a merciful God, a God that forbears. He is not just ready to cut somebody off just like that. Even sometimes I've known of people that was really playing the hypocrite when they came to church. Every once in a while, God in his mercy would give them peace or joy or do something for them. But you know what? All of these good things are not meant to make people feel comfortable in their sin. It's not. Every good thing that God gives is his forbearance, his mercy, his love, and it's trying to lead them to turn to the right path. This is a great problem because judgment against an evil matter is not done quickly. The hearts of men continue to pursue evil. And sometimes people even take the forbearance of God as the approval of God. Let me tell you, don't despise his forbearance. Don't look down upon it and take advantage of it. That's what Paul was saying here. There are people that look at the forbearance and the mercy of God and even the blessing of God, the provision of God, amen, and his love, and say, well, I'll continue on doing what I'm doing. That's not why he blessed you. He blessed you to turn you. He gave you good things to turn you. He gave you a good job and a good family and good health. And he rescued you in your time of need. Not so that you'd say, well, I can continue on doing this and it's okay. No, he did that so you would turn from your sins. I'll tell you, when people despise it is when they continue and will not turn upon the goodness of God. And so I must go on. In Revelation 3 and 19, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, sometimes he rebukes, maybe through a preacher like myself. But sometimes he chastens. Now, you know what chastisement is. That's when you get a whipping. I want to just say this to you parents. The object of a whipping is not tears or pain. The object is repentance. And you need to pray and ask God to help you know when that child has repented. Amen? Praise God, because God can witness that in your heart. He really can. He can help you understand when the child has truly turned from his disobedience or her disobedience. The Lord sometimes allows pain in our lives, not because he hates us, because he's trying to turn us from our own self-will and rebellion to him. One time a little baby died, and these people came to the pastor that was going to preach the funeral and said, would you please to explain to us how that God would allow this to happen? If God loves us, why? Well, this family was a family that was not faithful, didn't serve God, really. They just, you know, backsliding and just, you know, wandering here and there. And the pastor got up at the funeral and said, the family has asked me why this was allowed. Now, this was what he said. He said, I prayed and asked God. And God said, there was a shepherd one time that had a flock of sheep that was somewhat rebellious. One particular group of them was rebellious. And he had to lead them across the narrow way that was high up and there was a cliff that would fall down. If they fell, they would die. But he said if they followed him right where he walked, they would make it safely across to this place of green pasture. And he was moving his sheep, and he had gotten all the herd over there except one little group, and they would not. This one ewe lamb, this one ewe sheep had a lamb. And so he picked up the little lamb, put it on his shoulders, walked across the narrow passage, and the rest followed because the lamb was on the other side. He said, I believe that this family who has not followed the Lord as they should must realize that the Lord took a lamb over to the other side to try to get you to follow and make it there. It was in love. It was not that he didn't love you. Amen. You say, Brother Lloyd, I'd get bitter at God if he'd do that. Well, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't, but I'll tell you, God's intentions would be that you would follow him. His intentions would be that you'd turn from your sins and follow him. What if it would take sickness for you to really be ready to go to heaven? What if it would take a sudden death for you to really be ready to go to heaven? Can I tell you, I wouldn't want it to happen, not to me nor my family. I'll tell you, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, no. They're like that song says, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. A momentary pain that would change my heart and spirit and soul to where I could have eternal pleasures is a totally different thing. And if I may ask you, hey man, are not the chastisements of the Lord much more merciful? Now, I can't explain everything that happens. Sometimes good people have terrible things happen to them, like Job and so on. And so I'm not even getting into that area of suffering. But I am telling you that sometimes God allows suffering in our lives, not to turn us from him, but to turn us back to him. Amen. Sometimes we could go on in our pleasure, happy, self-satisfied way until a crisis comes, whatever that crisis may be. But was it out of hatred? No. It's out of love. Amen. But let me tell you one final thing, and I'm not going to make it through this message, but I hope that the message gets through to you. God's judgment should, the idea of the future judgment of God should make us all very tender to God. In Acts 17, verse 30, it says, and at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Friend, God already has judgment day etched in his calendar. He knows when it's going to be. He's appointed that day. It is there. And he's also appointed a day for you to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. God has two appointments wrote on his calendar. Take out your calendar. Do you know where they are? I know today's January 20th, right? January 20th, Sunday, January 20th. Can you tell me that one of those appointments is not today? Can't do it. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. He's appointed a day where he's going to judge the world. I know some don't, that doesn't even scare nobody. I mean, we've got such an entertainment industry that has scared people and frightened people that if I actually preached hell, in a way that I, with all the words that were available, if I could grab every word that's ever been spoken about hell and describe it in the best way that any preacher has ever preached it, it wouldn't frighten some people. But I'm telling you, there is a judgment, and there is a healthy fear of hell. I'm not for this torment stuff that sometimes gets on good saved people and the devil tries to torment them that they're not saved and stuff. I'm not talking about that. But there is a healthy fear of hell because Jesus Christ told us not to fear man, but to fear God, amen, that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. If Jesus said it, then that's what we need to do. We need to have an understanding that sin brings hell. God is so lofty and great and holy and powerful and wonderful. Amen. And he is so loving that he sent his only begotten son into this world. Amen. That for us to reject him and turn to sin, turn our backs on the great God, on the holy God. What a sin is it to turn our backs on God? I can't describe that sin. I'd have to describe hell to show you how bad it is for somebody to turn their back on God. Oh, I wish I could preach this to you here today. Great Lord. Brother Robert, would you read that scripture again that you had when you read right before? That's it. That's it. Turn to him. He's near enough if you just turn around. If you just turn around, hey, listen, some of y'all, I can see the direction you're heading. It's not towards God. It's not towards God. You know it's not. It's not towards God. You say, am I a Christian or not, Brother Lloyd? I want to ask you, which direction are you heading? Who has your heart? That's what I'm asking you. And if God don't have your heart, you know what you need to do? You need to turn and seek the Lord while he may be found, because there's a judgment coming. And there is a day when you cannot find God. Let me tell you, the fires of hell have licked the tears off of people's face until there's no more tears. And they may be sorry, but they can't find God. It's impossible. It's too late. Oh, I love you so much. I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks here today that need to repent. Could we all stand here? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And oh, I pray the love of God would just go forth and that people would see, oh God, how good you are in sending them a message instead of a funeral, and sending them a message instead of some other tragic event. God, would you please help people to see how good you are in sending them a message and conviction and an uncomfortable feeling in church rather than allowing them to die and be lost forever. Oh God, would you move right here this morning? I plead the blood of Jesus against every demonic unbelief, everything that would tell somebody they could put it off. Oh God, I'm asking for genuine repentance. Oh Lord, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh God. While heads are bowed, please, please, please don't disturb this part of the service. Oh God, if you're here today and you say, Brother, I have not repented, of my sins. I haven't turned from them to the Lord to believe. I want you to come right here. Meet me in this altar. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Amen. Our hearts long for that. Or maybe you would say, Brother Lloyd, I have to admit I'm still coming to church, but it seems like that I'm turning away from God. Maybe you hadn't made the full turn yet. But you need to turn back to God with all your heart. You say, I want to come and pray right now. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Anybody? Oh, church, let's pray. Pray from your heart. Oh, God, help somebody. Lord, let conviction come. I know words are words. I need the Spirit of God to come by and help somebody. Lord, would you bring people to Christ? Bring a backslider to Christ. God, explain the gospel to them in their hearts. Lord, turn in Jesus' name. Help them to turn. Oh, Jesus' name. Amen. God bless Amanda for coming and praying. God, help her. Some of you sisters, come and help her. Is there somebody else that want to come? Amen. Someone else? Please come. Please come. Oh, yes. You say, Brother Lloyd, I just feel my heart turning away from God, and it's scaring me. I want to get right with the Lord in a good way. Amen. God bless Becca. Lord Jesus. Bless her, Lord. Anybody else? Anyone else? Oh, church, pray. Would you pray with me that conviction and a drawing? Listen, there's folks that come to church that really, in all reality, I'm not saying they don't believe in the historic Jesus, but I, you know, there'll be people go to hell. There'll be people go to hell that's faithful to church, but never repented of their sins, never truly believed. There's folks, the Bible talks about the backslider in heart. The backslider in heart is full of his own ways. Hey, there's a backsliding that's not seen. It's not visible. It's an inward turning away from God. You need to turn your heart back to the Lord. Come on here today. Oh. Oh, yes. Great Lord in heaven. Great Lord in heaven. If I could, with all the love and compassion in my heart that I believe the Lord has for you, preach to you this morning and try to get you back in fellowship with Him, get you back where you could have a relationship. Oh, I would try to do it. I'm trying to right now. Would you come to this altar? Would you come to this altar? Amen. Going once, going twice. Is time going to run out on you? All right then, let's all come around the altar. Let's ask the Lord to move in people's hearts and lives. Oh, let's ask the Lord to search us. Amen. I appreciate Amanda coming and praying. Let's continue to pray that the Lord would help her. Oh, come on. Oh, yes, thank you.
your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him.
Got to be saved.
to me. Don't let me be lost for eternity. Above all else, I must be
the Lord. You know, the Lord's helping us, and like Brother Robert said, really no man can come to the Lord except the Spirit draw him. And we need old-fashioned conviction to grab a hold of this community and shake it. And I do believe there are people convicted in this area. And I pray God would lead us to those people. Amen. Sometimes, I realize, I think Brother Dwayne Bond, when he was under conviction, put on a front like he wasn't. And maybe Gwen didn't even know that he was. And I realize that you don't ever truly know how much God's dealing with a sinner. They put up a good front. But you know, there's some people I know is tenderhearted. Because I've talked to some this week. And I talked to a man back a couple of weeks ago about his soul. And I was thinking, boy, I'd like to run into him again. And then I didn't run into him, but I ran into his wife. And the way she talked, I know God's working on that couple right there. So, and I also knew by the fact that I ran into her that the Lord was trying to do something